When my mom talked about menopause, she called it the change, and it was all very hush-hush, as if there was something wrong about something so natural. Thank goodness with mental health awareness and actual research, we're beginning to understand the huge role hormones play in women's bodies. Being postmenopausal has its challenges, but if you're going through either perimenopause or menopause, then I suggest you try Hormone Harmony. Why? Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now here's the beauty about them. They help the body adapt to stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code SELFWORK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code SELFWORK for 15% off today. This is SELFWORK, and I'm Dr. Margaret Rutherford. At SELFWORK, we discuss psychological and emotional issues and what you can do about them, whether that's learning self-acceptance, taking action, or seeking therapy or treatment. 8 years ago, I extended the walls of my practice to reach those of you who might already be knowledgeable about mental health treatment, but also to those of you who might say you'd never darken the door of a therapist. And yet, you are here. I'll answer your questions while I invite you to take a few minutes for your own self-work. Now, I've had my share of PMS, but I've not experienced PMDD. I can only imagine how trapped you must feel, that your very biology is ramping you up for vicious trouble every month, month after month. As the listener's message stated, she even warned the one she loved that her monster self was about to appear. Welcome to this week's edition of SELFWORK. We're going to focus today on what's called PMDD, or premenstrual dysphoric disorder. What it is and what it's not, who suffers from it, how early can it emerge, why is it so misunderstood, misdiagnosed, or even ridiculed, which of course makes seeking treatment much harder. And as always, we're going to talk about what you can do about it. Now, you guys, before you say, oh, this episode's not for me, just remember that if you're in a relationship with anyone that has female anatomy, then this could be important for you to know too. Actually, today's episode is in response to a message I received over Instagram. Here, I'm going to quote, "Hi, Dr. Margaret. I've been listening to your podcast for years and have a suggestion. Would you be willing to do a podcast on premenstrual dysphoric disorder? It's a relentless and vicious cycle I go through every month, and I'm sure so many women suffer from it too. The symptoms include suicidal thoughts, irritability, depression, and an inability to even get thoughts in order. I've been under the care of a psychiatrist, take meds, see a therapist, and still struggle. 2 weeks out of the month, I'm my normal self, and the other two, it's like a monster takes over. This has ended many relationships, and it's to the point where I give my loved ones a heads up that the monster is coming, so they know if I say anything hurtful, it's not me. Please let me know of any questions, and thank you for being, oh well, she says, and thank you for being so freaking fantastic." Sorry, I didn't see that coming. That's a little much, but anyway. You can hear this listener's loneliness and even shame about something that happens to her. So I'm delighted to share with you what I know and have learned through researching what the experts have to say. And I'll offer some really great support links in the show notes for any of you who might need this support. Our listener voicemail was hard for me to decipher, but the gist of it is that she's describing that all she can think about is work, and she feels very self-centered with little empathy or support for others. Her pain is evident in her voice. In fact, that's probably one reason it was more difficult to understand. So I'll do my best to answer her question. But first, let's hear from AG1. They used to be called Athletic Greens. And I know that I can tell if it's a day that I didn't take them. Or I certainly can tell the next day. So let's hear from AG1. It's important to me that the supplements I take are of the highest quality, and that's why, for years, I've been drinking AG1. Unlike many supplement brands, AG1 conducts relentless testing to set the standard for purity and potency. Quality for AG1 isn't just a buzzword, it's a commitment. And at each step of the process, AG1 goes above and beyond industry standards. I know I can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because they obsess over product quality, the standards of their manufacturing, and sustainable practices. Taking care of your health shouldn't be complicated, and AG1 simplifies this by replacing all those multiple health supplements like your multivitamins, digestive aids, immune support, and more in just one simple scoop. AG1's ingredients are heavily researched for their quality, and I love that every scoop also includes prebiotics, probiotics, and digestive enzymes for gut support. I've partnered with AG1 for so long because they make such a high-quality product that I drink every day. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try it and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/selfwork. Again, that's drinkag1.com/selfwork. Check it out. You'll be glad you did. Most, if not all, girls and women, or anyone who is identified at birth as female, experience what's called PMS, premenstrual syndrome. The symptoms happen a few days before your menstrual cycle begins. You can feel irritable, depressed, sad. You can want to isolate. You can feel bloated. Your breasts are tender, or all of the above. And once your period begins, it's not that you're home free, because many experience pain and cramping. You can have a heavier flow of blood, which can cause weakness. There are all kinds of problems that can happen. But generally, you feel as if some pressure within you has been released, and that sense of not being myself stops, and you feel more like yourself again. What's happening hormonally during just normal PMS? I'm quoting from WebMD. The exact cause of PMS is not clear, but we do know that levels of estrogen and progesterone drop during the week before your period. Many doctors believe this decline in hormone levels triggers the symptoms of PMS. Changes in brain chemicals or deficiencies in certain vitamins and minerals may also play a role. Too many salty foods, alcohol, or caffeine can affect this as well. So basically, they don't know. But there's a much more dramatic and painful problem that around 2-5% of women develop. And there are some studies I found that increase this percentage to 8-10%. That's called PMDD, or premenstrual dysphoric disorder. Dysphoria meaning like depression. Now, don't get this confused with PDD, persistent dysphoric disorder, or what used to be called dysthymia, which is a longer-term sense of being fatigued, despondent, down, or agitated, mentally foggy. It's like a mild or more moderate depression, and it's got its own treatment hurdles. Yet PMDD is different. Imagine. Every 3 weeks, you're going to experience, sometimes no matter what you try to do, a major depression. You may dive into a pit of despair. You may want to hide from everything and everyone. You may be so irritable that you pick fights with people you love or impulsively snap at them. You may even have suicidal thoughts. And as the listener's Instagram message to me said in the intro, you may also have incredible mind fog. And then a few days later, the depression lifts miraculously, right? Until the next month, when similar symptoms emerge. Even those with bipolar disorder can learn their triggers, or what will cause them or trigger them into having a hypomanic episode, such as maybe lack of sleep, or what may make them more depressed. In fact, if you listen to Gabe Howard, who was my recent guest on Self-Work, he called bipolar an intermittent disorder. You get times when you feel pretty normal. But for sufferers of PMDD, although the exact cause is still unsure, it happens with almost every menstrual cycle. In fact, that's part of an accurate diagnosis. It has to happen almost every time. Now, I've had my share of PMS, but I've not experienced PMDD. I can only imagine how trapped you must feel, that your very biology is ramping you up for vicious trouble every month, month after month. As the listener's message stated, she even warned the one she loved that her monster self was about to appear. Now, before the diagnosis of PMDD was made official, before it was understood and accepted as a true mental health disorder, which actually has been fairly recently, most were misdiagnosed or dismissed as overly dramatic or neurotic. The further fact that it tends to emerge when its sufferer is young may stand in the way, or did stand in the way, and probably still does, of its legitimacy. Oh, she's just getting used to having periods, or, oh, she's a teenager and all teenagers are moody. You can see how easily it could be minimized simply because of a girl's age. Let's talk a bit about the controversy that's still raging over this diagnosis. Women want and deserve for this dysfunction or problem to be seen as legitimate, deserving research and understanding. Here's an excerpt from the website IAPMD, the International Association of Premenstrual Disorders. PMDD has been a hidden battle for many of us. Throughout history, PMDD symptoms have often been mistaken for exaggerated premenstrual syndrome, or PMS, or even dismissed as emotional instability. However, within the last century, brave women and their supporters have fought to bring PMDD out of the shadows, and modern advocates continue the fight for change. Dr. Catherine Dalton, a trailblazer in the 1950s, dedicated herself to studying and documenting the severe symptoms experienced by women before menstruation. Her groundbreaking research emphasized the unique nature of PMDD and highlighted its profound impact on women's lives. Dr. Dalton's work paved the way for understanding PMDD as a genuine disorder with its own challenges and struggles. Now, a significant breakthrough came in 1987, when the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, the DSM, finally recognized PMDD as a diagnosable mental health condition. This was a momentous change. Before, PMDD had been left out of the manual, perpetuating its underrepresentation and lack of acknowledgement within the medical community. Now, even given these recognitions, there's still distrust, because the chance of it being used against women is substantial. What woman doesn't hate when her objections to something in a relationship is being discussed, the demeaning question is asked, is it right before your period? And that's on a personal level. The problems could easily carry over to the professional realm, with people not being so sure they want women in positions of decision-making and authority because, you know, they have their periods, right? Gosh. Ugh. Drives me crazy. In fact, I've worked with couples on how to approach these issues together. After all, when you think about it, the shoe can actually fit for each gender. How many times is the question brought up, especially for men, how long has it been since you've had an orgasm? Or, if we had more sex, I wouldn't be so grumpy. Instead of talking about it like that, there are ways to talk about these kinds of issues with respect and understanding, rather than being demeaning to either party. But back to the problems with PMDD. You can see how the concern over it being used to stigmatize or marginalize women is apparent. It also has been seen in the past as an attempt by the pharmaceutical industry to make money and medicalize what's a normal experience. Ah, here's another reason to give someone a pill. And there are other problems with it, such as let's blame the culture instead of seeing it as a universally prevalent condition, which it is. Now, to further complicate things, even though it's present in the diagnostic manual, doctors and psychiatrists aren't trained to consider hormonal changes as a source of women's issues. So someone seeking answers could be sent to a psychiatrist, who'd then send you to gynecology, who'd send you to endocrinology, and that's probably the best case scenario. The silos that have become the model for our medical treatment, meaning the focus has become very specific for medicine rather than more general and holistic, can be dangerous and lead you as the patient to multiple appointments with no answers. FYI, I want to tell you that your mental health clinician, no matter what your gender, should ask questions like, is there a pattern to your symptoms, be they anxiety or depression or whatever they happen to be? Do they tend to happen at the same time? And often I ask for people to keep track of when their problems begin and when they end. I want to collaborate with my client to try to understand what's going on. There are even really great tracker mood apps that are a very easy way to do this. And I do this whether I suspect PMDD or other form of cyclic disorder. Ever feel like you're too busy to eat healthy? Meal kits from Sunbasket are the perfect solution. No more meal planning or shopping. Every Sunbasket meal is designed by dietitians and chefs to be healthy, nourishing, and delicious with none of the hassle. You can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy recipes each week, and you can order things like Mediterranean diet, vegetarian, carb conscious, even gluten free. I love to cook, but some nights having those decisions made for you and so nutritiously with organic fresh produce is fabulous. You can also have pre-made meal options as well that are just as tasty and are ready in 5 minutes or less. Sunbasket takes care of all the hard parts of healthy eating and delivers right to your door. Remember, mental health is directly tied to what you eat or don't eat, and Sunbasket's offer is phenomenal. Go to sunbasket.com/selfwork today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/selfwork to save $120 across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Now, I want to go to the topic of what could you get misdiagnosed? What if you have PMDD and you go to someone? What if they misdiagnose you? What could that diagnosis be? Here's my own short list. Maybe you have bad PMS, okay? And the argument really is for any of these, this is much worse than PMS, and it happens every cycle. Well, maybe you have bipolar illness. There's something called rapid cycling, meaning that literally your ups and downs are very frequent. And someone could think, oh, she's up for 3 weeks and then she's down for 3 weeks. But again, anyone asking the question, when do your symptoms begin and when do they tend to end, could fairly easily rule this out. Unless there's some kind of dual diagnosis, meaning could you have bipolar disorder as well as having PMDD? Yes, of course. That would be a hard road, but you could have that. Now, again, it could be seen as a major depression, but for you to receive the diagnosis of major depression, you actually have to have those symptoms, the sadness, the foggy thinking, the crying, the even suicidality, the just not functioning like yourself, really, really depressed, really, really down for at least 2 weeks to receive that diagnosis. For PMDD, usually your symptoms are the worst for about 5 to 7 days, maybe a little longer for some, but at their worst, 5 to 7 days, and then they remit, not major depression. Now, one of my guesses would be that you might also be seen as having a personality disorder, either histrionic personality disorder or borderline personality disorder. Both of those having agitation, anger, lots of drama, mood swings. Again, the fairly simple question, which would add clarity, is one we've already discussed. Does it come and go? Now, there are mood swings in both histrionic and borderline personality disorder, but they happen all the time, and there is no real pattern. Also, there are traits of these conditions like lack of empathy, or there's a lack of understanding of the impact of your actions on others that wouldn't fit here at all. Rarely would someone with BPD warn others of the coming of her monster. That suggests empathy and even shame over the soon-to-be behavior. Now, could it be diagnosed as PTSD? I can sort of see that this could be a problem more easily, in fact, than some. If there has been trauma that maybe wasn't understood as trauma before, a doctor or therapist could wonder, so is this some kind of delayed response to that trauma? I want to point out, diagnosing mental health conditions can be very complicated. In fact, I'm going to talk more about that in next week's episode. So, as we always focus here at Self-Work, what can you do about it? What I noticed in the literature was disagreement. The medical websites I visited overwhelmingly stated that SSRIs or antidepressants, those are selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, those medical websites said, oh yeah, that's the primary treatment option. Now, what that doesn't account for is the days and even weeks where there are no symptoms present. Somebody might think, oh, well, that's the effect of the antidepressant, but it's actually not. It's the pattern of the diagnosis. So why do you want to be on an antidepressant when for 3 weeks out of the month, you're not depressed? One promising study that I found showed that women who took an antidepressant only during those days where symptoms were emerging did fine, but it sounded like more studies like this needed to happen. The other avenue is hormonal treatment. for example, going on some kind of birth control method. And I did find studies that said that is far superior to SSRIs. The issue here is that not all women can tolerate the side effects of the hormonal treatments. So the jury is still out. Here's the best thing to do, in my opinion. Get support from others who share your experience. And I'm happy to report that same IAPMD website, the International Association of Premenstrual Disorders website, has all kinds of opportunities for support. Video groups, Facebook groups, peer support groups, information centers, ways to get help anonymously. So I will have that website in the show notes, definitely, along with several other helpful links. Just connecting with others can be very helpful. That kind of advice could also be helpful in how you decide to talk about your condition with family or friends, obviously your partner, and how you manage it both personally and professionally. Now, on the medical level, and if your insurance will cover it, you can look for an integrative medicine doctor. They integrate conventional approaches and complementary therapies to achieve optimal health and healing, according to a website of theirs. So that might be another take. I found two excellent, really excellent YouTube videos that I'm including in the show notes for those of you who want to hear from those who've experienced this and who want to offer hope to you. So please go to your show notes and avail yourself of them. You definitely need support if you have and suffer with PMDD or you love someone who does.
SpeakPipe message from DrMargaretRutherford.com.
This voicemail, as I said in the intro, was very hard to understand at first, but let's listen to it.
Sir, I'm always being selfish. I don't know why. I am always self-concerned about my things only. If some people told me about their feelings, I can't really get into their feelings. I'm just focusing on my own things only. Like always doing my work. If I came to work, I cannot focus on any other things except work. Even my loved one is in danger. I'm just focusing on work alone. Even I have many problems, I can't take care of other things. I'm just focusing on my own work. Like that only. If someone is telling about their feelings, I can't understand how they feel. Just like a waste. Why I am being like this? Why I am being so selfish?
As I listened and more understood the cadence of this listener's speech, I caught most of her phrases, and I realized that she was talking about her own struggle with an overfocus on work and less of a focus on or comfort level with being emotionally available to others. Some of you may understand this listener's speech patterns better than I, so I apologize if I've missed some major part of her comment or question. But her intense focus on work was what I gleaned was where she was struggling and calling herself, sadly, self-centered. First, let me say that someone who's truly self-centered probably wouldn't see this dynamic as a problem. They might say things more like, I wish other people would quit trying to talk to me. I'm too busy. Or my time is very precious. So from my perspective, this listener's likely not truly self-centered. My guess is two things. First, somewhere, her family, her culture, her schooling, her peers, somewhere along the line, she's learned that working and a focus on working is paramount. Maybe she grew up very poor. Maybe, I believe she's female, she was told she'd never amount to anything professionally, and she's very determined to be successful. Maybe she was only viewed as valuable by her family if she brought in enough money or achieved a certain standard of success. An intense focus on your professional life as the sole source of accomplishment is part of what I call perfectly hidden depression, as many of you may remember from other episodes. I've worked with people through the years, and remember, I've been accused of and accused myself of being a bit of a workaholic. but I've worked with people who cannot turn off their work brain. They carry work home with them either mentally or even physically and cannot seem to relax and enjoy or be a part of whatever's going on at home. They don't play with their kids. They don't hang out with family. They work. It's true, they may be in a highly competitive, or you may be in a highly competitive or demanding job. Several international corporations have their headquarters here in Northwest Arkansas. Walmart, Tyson, J.B. Hunt, to name a few. And I've certainly seen a lot of people through the years that are on that success treadmill. If they're coming to see me, that's usually because they can see the destructive impact it's having, but they still may balk at too many changes where work is concerned. What I do with folks like this is collaborate about what changes they feel they are ready to make and remind them no change is too small. No change is insignificant. But now let's focus on this listener not knowing how to stop and tune into other people. Again, that could be a choice, but so many people, and this listener or even you, maybe one of them, are uncomfortable when people are sharing struggle or pain. They can become judgmental. You don't have a reason to feel that way, and they can certainly shut down the conversation. Or they can say, hey, you need to look at the positives. They can problem solve or try to talk them out of feeling blue or down or even depressed. That kind of cheerleading is another surefire way to get people to stop sharing. Instead, and if you really want to learn how to do this, start with where you are. Start by saying, I want to be a friend to you, but what could be helpful for me to do? I'm not very good at this. Much of the time they'll say something like, I just need someone to listen. Or they might say, I don't know quite what to do or what I want, but I'd like your opinion. And those are two different conversations. Somebody wanting you to listen and someone wanting your opinion. They're very different conversations. But even this means you have to unfocus on work and be there in the moment. You can actually practice this. I practice this all the time. My mind will be racing along and I'll stop, challenge myself to be present in the moment I'm in. When you're walking, for example, don't think about where you're going. Notice things, the air, how your feet feel on the ground. Maybe your shoes are too tight. Any smells around, you slow things down. And then you can pick that racing mind of yours back up, but you've enjoyed a moment of your own. I love to do it when I first wake up. It kind of gets my day started well. So please, to this listener, don't pummel yourself with self-demeaning words about how self-centered you are. There are two not-so-simple skills to learn: how to unhook from your working mind, and then second, be in the moment with someone who needs to talk. Many of us have to work on the same thing. Let us know how it goes. Again, there are a lot of links for this that I urge many of you who struggle with PMDD or even just some PMS might could be very, very helped by. I announced to my newsletter group last week, and I want to announce here, I am wanting to interview some people who identify with perfectly hidden depression for a new book, just to get some more fresh insights and that kind of thing. If you are one of those people, please email me at askdrmargaret@drmargaretrutherford.com. Or if you just want to send me a question or a comment, please do so at askdrmargaret@drmargaretrutherford.com. The other day I got one of someone saying they liked the jacket I was wearing in my picture. That's always nice to hear. So anything, question, comment, concern, I'd love to hear from you. And you can use the SpeakPipe voicemail that's again in your show notes, the app, and is on my website. By the time you hear this, my TEDx will be either right at 1 million views or a little over. I am honored. Thank you for listening. Thank you for liking. Thank you for sharing. And if you haven't listened to it, you can go to TEDx Talks or just TEDx Dr. Margaret Rutherford, and it'll be right there. How to Recognize Perfectly Hidden Depression. Thank you, as always, for being here. Every one of you is very special to me. Please take care of yourself, your loved ones, and your community. I'm Dr. Margaret, and this has been Self Work.